Okay, so today is Tuesday, February 9th, the 27th of Shvat, almost Rosh Chodesh Adar, so we should try to be happy. And we are not continuing in Malachim Aleph, Perek Aleph. We're staying where we were, and we're going to explore more about Avishag and Adoniyahu today. So just to review the plot, David HaMelech is old, and he can't warm himself in a normal way. He's covered with clothing and it doesn't warm him. So his servants and advisors recommend that they bring she goes from a young virgin girl to a beautiful girl to a very beautiful girl to be an agent and to warm him. And they bring in Avishag the Shunammite. And then Adoniyahu, we switch right into, and it's interesting to note that there are no paragraph breaks in the text. So the text tells us that the king did not know her in the biblical sense, Avishag. She was just a warming agent. And then Adoniyahu decides he should be king. And he gets some young men to run before him, make noise. And we're told that his father never rebuked him. We spent a lot of time last week on that word, atzavo, and what it meant. So he never placed any limits on him. He never deprived him of anything. All of those things. And Adoniyahu brings Yoav, David's general, onto his side, and also Eviatar, the Kohen, who had been the Kohen Gadol, but was downgraded. So the first thing we're going to look at is this very interesting thing that I saw. We may have explored this before because some of it that we're not going to do today looked familiar, but I'm not sure because I think I would have remembered. So I just want to show you the biography first. So this is Rabbi Chaim Yosef David Azulai, better known as the Chida. And he lived in the 18th century. And he knew everything, basically, I think is what we have to say about him. So you can see Halacha, Kabbalah, Mefarshim, everything. And I don't know everything. So there's a lot in this that we won't understand the full depths of it, but it's really interesting. And I wanted to share it with you. So this is a collection of books on Haftarot. And I mentioned, I think in the first class, that this is the Haftorah of Chayei Sara. We have the parallel of both Avraham and David getting old, described as Ba B'yamim. And he begins in his beginning with that, which I put in small since we already explored it. And he quotes the Zohar that says, what does it mean to come in your days, Ba B'yamim? And that if you don't waste any days, your days actually come with you to the next world. You're clothed in them. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. And they come with you into the next world. Okay, so we'll start where the type gets bold, would get bigger. Ach shemetz devar nimtza, eza hergesh, shebiza habegadim, ve'alze hayalo yisurin, ve'chasuhu v'lo icham, v'nitkaper lo gamza. Okay, so this is, we also saw this explanation that he had the slightest hint. Hi, Ruth, we just started. He had the slightest hint of not showing honor to clothing when he cut off the corner of Shaul's garment. And that's why these clothing didn't warm him. And the chida is implying v'nitz kaperlo gamza, that this being cold was maybe a kapara, an atonement for that he didn't show proper respect for clothing earlier in his life. Okay. So this is Kabbalah from the Ari. Shepeiresh de David Hamelch alav hashalom chait b'machshava ve'avigail. So David sinned with a thought with regard to Avigail. Okay, so this is taking us into a new direction that we hadn't seen before. All the other commentaries had associated David's sin with Bathsheba. And we hadn't really discussed so much. We discussed it with Abigail, that Abigail saved him from some sort of sin, but we never thought that maybe there was a lasting impact of his encounter with Abigail in that way. So just to review, David and his I think it was still 400 men at that point, are fleeing from Shaul, and they come to a distant relative of his. They're in a forest, and there's a distant relative, very wealthy, Naval, which means disgusting. We don't know if he was named that before or after this incident. And David actually helps some of his servants, and they go back and they tell him that David and his men are coming and they need to be fed. And Naval says, "Who is this David?" Even though they're actually distantly related. And so David is so angry and outraged that he plots to attack Naval and his family. So the servants go to Abigail, his wife, and she comes out with camels. I forgot if it was camels and donkeys or just one of them, laden with all sorts of things out to David's camp. And David falls instantly in love with her. But they don't do anything. And lo and behold, when Abigail goes back to tell her husband what she had done, he collapses, might have been a heart attack, and he was in a coma for 10 days, and then he died. And that's when Abigail becomes David's wife, most likely waiting the requisite halachic 3 months before they got married. So that is Abigail. It was a long time ago. It was, I think, one of David HaMelech's early wives. It's very early in his story, after Michal, of course. So we're reminded of that story and his thought maybe to do something that. And Abigail also is one of the seven prophetesses, because when she discouraged David from doing anything with her at that moment while she was still married, she said, "Damim, bloods." So she kept him from this blood, but she couldn't keep him from the blood of Bathsheba. I'm not quoting it exactly. I probably should have reviewed it. I apologize. But she is one of the seven prophetesses in that, from that instance. Okay. Ubesiba zo lo nitzkan hamalbush shelo legamrei. And it's for this reason that his garment wasn't completely fixed. And these could be Kabbalistic terms. Garment is a Kabbalistic term and tikkun is a Kabbalistic term. So we don't have to take it right, literally. Because God is very particular when it comes to tzaddikim, that even the slightest hint of something off, God holds them accountable for it. That's what that's referring to. And that's what it means. He couldn't get warm. Gematria Noach. So the Noach, which is 58, is the same gematria, 58, as Yod Chet Mem. That is also 58. Shelo hayalo noach bebeget haneshama. He didn't have any comfort in the garment of his soul, of his neshama. Shehaya neged hamachshava, because that corresponded to the thought he had with regard to Avigal. V'letaken zeh, and in order to fix this, yatzu lichbosh yitzro be'avishag, he was advised to conquer his yetzer, his inclination, with Avishag. Vatihi lamelech sochenet, and she would be an agent to the king. Shehaya besakana. So it's another reading of this sochenet, agent, that David would be in danger. And I never thought that a sochen, an agent, has the same shoresh root as sakin, knife, and also sakana, danger. So this agent is placing David in danger on purpose so that he would be able to conquer his evil inclination. So he'd be in danger, but kol raga, at every moment. Okay, Alpiza, according to this, Eshar lehavin mamaram zal b'Sanhedrin. And now we can understand what they said in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we've seen before. De Avishag amra le David nenasvan. When Avishag said to David, "Let's get married," amar le, asirt, you're forbidden to me because you already had 18 wives. Amar le chasre legan v'nafshe l'shama nakat. And she gives this very chutzpahdik retort, if you remember. You're like the thief who doesn't have anything to steal, so he makes himself as if he's peaceful. And that was her way of saying, you have no ability to marry me and consummate the marriage, and that's why you don't want to marry me. Okay, so that was explaining that. Klomar, gamani hergashti hasod dehainu chasrei leganva, ganva gematria avigal. Okay, so the chida according to the Arizal, I think is interpreting this in a totally different direction. So the chasre leganva, when the thief is lacking. So it's saying ganva has the same gematria, and I didn't do the math, sorry, as Avigail. So read into that, you are lacking Avigail. Klamar, yesh lecha chisron b'malbush, you have a lacking in your garment, and this is a garment for the soul again, misibat Avigail, from the reason of Avigail. V'lachein chaser b'levush ha-neshama, and that is why you're missing this garment of the neshama. I'm specifically not saying soul, I'm saying neshama, because ach levush ha-nefesh kvar hushlam, because the garment of the nefesh was already completed. Shesigavta atzmecha al bat sheva v'inyan avshalom, because you tortured yourself with regard to bat sheva and the matter of avshalom, v'nitzken malbush ha-nefesh, and therefore your nefesh was fixed. V'ze shamar nafshe l'shalma nakat, he makes himself as if he's peaceful, and the word for himself, nafshe, has the word nefesh in it. So kvar yesh biyadcha malbush ha-nefesh shalem, you already have the complete garments of the nefesh. So in Kabbalah, let me just finish this sentence, this paragraph. Umalbush neshama shehu neged hamachshava, but when it comes to the garment of the neshama, that implies thought, that comes with thought, chaser ktsat, you're a little bit lacking. V'ata mashlimo b'zeh, and you're completing it with this, with Avishag. So there are five souls in Kabbalah. There's the Ruach, Nefesh, Neshama. And I forget what the other two are, but the other two are actually, I think, external from our bodies. They're on very high levels. And I never knew any of this before we're reading. It seems that Neshama is associated with thought, and Nefesh is associated with action, which actually makes sense, because in Chabad Chassidus, there are two nefashot, nefeshes. There's your nefesh behemi, your animal nefesh, which is the nefesh that every single living being has that gives you the will to live. And then there's the nefesh Eloki, there's the divine nefesh, which is what makes us human. Chabad would say what makes us Jewish. And then the neshama is, I think, at a more elevated level than that. So that's all I can tell you about that. It's very deep Kabbalah. Any questions on that? Okay, so we're putting Batsheva into the nefesh category and Avigail into the neshama category. And David needs to completely repair the neshama, whereas the nefesh is already repaired. U'besefer halikutim hanizkar, and in this collected works that he mentioned, I think of the Arizal, Katuv d'lechach bakshuat Avishag, that's why they requested Avishag, Shehi Avigail b'chiluf lamed b'shin. So if you look at the words, Avishag, the names Avishag, Avishag, so Aleph Bet Yod Shin Gimel, and Avigail, Aleph Bet Yod Gimel Lamed, we're going to see that that Yod sometimes disappears. You see that they both, the Lamed and the Shin are the only differences in their names. Ayin Sham, B'Efshar D'Lechein, Kativ B'Shmuel Aleph, Siman Kaf Hei, and maybe that's why it's written in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 25, V'Lotio Zot Lecha Lepuka. So this is what Avigail says, don't let this be a something blocking you. Vayomer David la Avigal, you see it's missing the yud. And David said to Avigal, we read it Avigail, but it has the same, looks very much more similar to Avishag. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, blessed is God, Lord of Israel, God of Israel, where he praises her for her diplomacy. Vitzarich ta'am, lama katav kan Avigal. And we need a reason. Why is it written without the yud? B'kol ha-parsha, but in the entire parsha, kativ Avigail. That's the only time it's missing the yod. U'kvar ana ze'ira amadati al zeh, and he says he thought about this for a long time. V'heveti divrei ha-Yerushalmi, v'divrei Rabbeinu ha-Ari, he looked in all of the holy books, Bekontrasei Hakatan, Rosh David, Parshat Vayishlach Ayin Sham. So I have no idea what he's referring to, but he must have discovered something in these books, but I don't know what it is. Ve'ata, now, Lefi Ha'amor, Eshar de Avigail Amralo, Ve'lo Tiazot Lepuka, when Avigail said, don't let this be a block, or stumbling block, Ramzalo, De'ika Achriti Ma'aseh. She hinted to him that there would be another action that would be a stumbling block. De Bat Sheva. That's what that stands for Bat Sheva. Kamosha Amruza, like the rabbis say, Yehu Chazarbo, V'tekef Shartabo Ruach HaKodesh. So he went back and he immediately received this divine inspiration. V'yada degam al machshava zo tzarich l'taken. And he knew that on this thought that he had with regard to Avigal, that was not so nice. Zo tzarich l'taken. He needed to fix it. U'keneged Avigal yitaken v'avishag. And he would fix it through Avishag. V'lechein amar v'yomer David l'Avigal. Klomar at nevia she'amart v'lo tiyazot l'puka u'lamichshol. So when it says Avigal without the yod, you are a prophetess that you said, don't let this be a stumbling block. Denahi de la puka mikshal leta kan lachar chazra shechazarti bi. I did shuva, I returned on it, I didn't do anything. Umnam is a hergesh pagam ika. But that feeling that he had, that thought, created a flaw. Bitzarich letaken beisha deshma kishmech Avigal. And it needs to be fixed with a woman whose name is like your name, Avigal. V'chaser yud, me Avigal. And that's missing the yud. Ki yud, remez l'machshava. Because he's saying here that the yud is a hint towards thought. I think it's because if you think of the letters of God's name, and you have that yud, it's not touching the ground. It means that things are still in the potential, in the thought arena. It's not being brought down to earth, which is what the Vav represents. The Vav represents the elongating of the Yud, and that is being drawn down to earth into action. B'liyoto remez ne'alam v'gam shehu klapei didei sagi v'chad v'doketev. I don't know what that means. V'hu chet b'machshava, so this is a sin in thought. U'mishum hachi kativ v'yomer avigal v'chiser Yud. And that's why it's missing the Yud, because this was some sort of sin in his thought. Ki haya is a pagam b'machshava, right? There's some sort of flaw in his thought. V'gam Avishag haya shma neged Avigal. And Avishag's name corresponds to Avigal, chaser yod, without the yod. U'mikomukom higdila Avigal lahatzilo. And in any case, Avigal was made great to save him. V'yavarech David shenimlat michto b'masa. And David praised her that he escaped from sinning in action. He only sinned in thought. Okay, so that's the Chida's explanation on who Avishag and what her role was. And now he's going on to V'hamelech lo yad'a, the king did not know her. V'Adonia ben Chagit mitnase, and Adonia lifted himself up to be king. Efshar lefaresh uladakdek hasmichut. So here he's going to explain how these two incidences are related to each other. The king not knowing Avishag, and Adoniah deciding to be king. De Adoniah ra'a b'mase de Avishag yafe me'od, v'hamelech lo yad'a, v'atu de havale legaresh echat mishmona asrei, v'lo lihityached im Avishag, v'hu lo yada de kashim gerashim, k'mo shekatuv perkaf gimel. So Adoniah saw with the incident of Avishag that she was very beautiful and that the king did not know her in the biblical sense. And why didn't he just divorce one of his 18 wives and not be confined in private with Avishag? And Adoniah didn't know that David took divorce very seriously, and there's a quotation that divorce is one of the most difficult things. I think it might be where it says that the altar cries every time there's a divorce. V'lezed dan v'dato d'chatab v'at sheva. And Adoniah, who misinterpreted the whole event, and he judged in his mind that it was because of the sin of Bathsheba that David was trying to conquer his Yetzer and fix it. And that's why he needed to be confined with her. And to conquer his Yetzer, and this would be its fixed. And from this, misinterpreting the context and thinking that David was needed to fix somehow his relationship with Bathsheba, Adoniyahu came to the conclusion that therefore Shlomo, the child of David and Bathsheba, was not worthy to be king. Kihu ben Bathsheba, vihi asuralo, because he's the son of Bathsheba, and she is, in the way Adoniyahu is reading it, forbidden to him, to David. Zot haitalo, kihu mitnase lemloch, uva katuv bekesher amitz, v'hamelech lo yad'ah. And this was why he lifted himself up to be king. And this is why there's such a strong connection in the narrative between the king not knowing Avishag, in the biblical sense, and Adoniyahu deciding to be king. V'din grama v'Adoniyahu ben Chagit mitnase lemor, ani amloch v'afshardi lemor, remez l'gilui ariot. So this, the way Adoniyahu lifts himself to be king, could be hinting at inappropriate sexual relations. Kamo shekatuv perak arba mitot, like we learned in Gemara about the four different deaths. I didn't look this up, sorry, but it says lemor, ze gilui ariot, v'ze shomar mitnase, b'avor lemor shechata b'vit Bathsheba, v'hi erva. And this is, so the way Adoniyahu lifts himself is implying that there was inappropriate sexual relations between Bathsheba and David, and that Bathsheba was forbidden to David. Imkein ani amloch ki Shlomo ba mi Bathsheba ha'asura. And therefore, I'm going to be king because Bathsheba is forbidden to my father. Lechein Adoniyahu ha'melech David, Shehevin da'at Adoniyahu, v'hehalchu ito la'afuke svaratam, b'laharot ki b'no binyan b'kore akavish bli yesod. So David understood what Adoniyahu was doing and that he was building a foundation out of cobwebs. I didn't know that word before. Kore akabish, which literally means the walls of a spider. So it means cobwebs without any foundation. V'inyan amar kar'oli l'Bathsheba. And that's why, according to the Midrash, if you remember from the Gemara where Avishag is chutzpahdik and says to David, you're only doing this because you're like a thief who has nothing to steal. And then in the Gemara, David says, call Bathsheba to me. Okay? So he's proving to Adoniyahu that he is indeed permitted to Bathsheba, and they uncovered 13 tablecloths, if you remember the euphemism that said. The kanach biyud gimel mapot. That's the 13 tablecloths. Lehorot shehi ishto hamuteret lo, to show that she is indeed his wife who's permitted to him. Biruya lo, and she's worthy of him. Di silka datach, because if it would occur to you, that you might think that Avishag is a fix for Bathsheba, shehi asuralo, that she's forbidden to him, hayam afsit hakol vechozer lesuro, chas v'shalom. You would lose everything and it would not be good. V'kevan v'mispar yud gimel, and what's the deal with the 13 tablecloths? Gematria echad. So yud gimel is the same gematria as the letters that make up the number 1. Aleph, Chet, and Dalet together equal Yud Gimel 13. Lirmoz ki mehashem echad haitalo velo chat. To hint that it was actually all from God and he didn't sin. V'efshar shegam Avishag svavra ke Adoniyahu, and it could be that Avishag had the same logical reasoning that Adoniyahu had. V'siyato ve'amralo chasrei legan v'nafshe l'shalmo nakat. And she was helping Adoniyahu by saying, the thief who no longer has anything to steal makes himself peaceful. Klomar, chasrei leganva sheganav Bathsheba, the thief who doesn't have anything to steal, that you stole Bathsheba, v'ata chozer b'tshuva nafshe l'sham v'b'nakat. And now you're doing tshuva and you're making yourself out to be peaceful. Okay, the next paragraph was about making an oath, which I didn't understand, so I made it small. Below Atzavo Aviv Miyamav, and he never told his son, he never put any limits on his son, he never denied his son anything, whatever that means. Lemor Madua Veka, it's supposed to be Kacha Asita, why did you do this? Vigam Hu Tov Tor Me'od, and he was also very beautiful, talking about Adoniyahu. This is a quotation from our text. Ve'oto Yalda Achare Avshalom, and he was born after Avshalom. So he's quoting a rabbi from Yerushalayim from the year Taf Mem Zayin. Somebody can do the math there, but it was a couple hundred years ago. Ve'et Shemo Lo Higid, but he didn't say his name. So some anonymous source he's quoting, Sheperesh B'ma Shamru Chazal, what the rabbi said, De'amar Le Chushi LeDavid. Okay, so this takes us back to the rebellion of Avshalom, when Chushi, if you remember, he was an old man and he was David's close friend. He made himself look as if he was joining with Avshalom, and he was able to advise Avshalom in such a way that David won the rebellion against his son Avshalom. So Chushi was the advisor. So my Tama Nifsavta Yifat Tor. So I don't know if we did this Gemara when we looked at the Chushi incident, but in this, it's very interesting. Chushi sort of rebukes David, and he says to him, why did you marry a Yifat Tor? So Yifat Tor is from Parshat Ki Tetzé, when a man goes out to war and he sees a beautiful woman, he can take her captive and he has to do certain things, and then he can either marry her or let her go free. So that's what the Yifat Tor is, and it's clear that David may have married at least one, if not two or even three, of his wives were these women taken in captive during war. And the mother of Avshalom certainly was. So, V'amar le Yifat Tor, Rachmana Sharye, and David replied, God permits it. It's in the Torah. As long as you follow these rules, you can marry a woman you take captive in war. Amar le, my tamalo darashta smuchim. But Chushi then says to him, why didn't you continue reading and thinking about the connection between what comes next after the beautiful captive woman? Anybody know what comes next? It's the Ben Sora or Mora. It's the rebellious son. De'kol ha'nosei yifator nolad lo Ben Sora or Mora. Anyone who marries this beautiful captive woman, this rebellious son will be born to him. Be'af Adoniyahu ba miyifator. Adoniyahu also came, not just Avshalom, but Adoniyahu, who had a different mother, also came from this captive wife, Hayah Rotzeh Liyasro, and he wanted to rebuke him, to discipline him, Kasher Yisar Ishet Beno, in the way that any man would discipline his son, Umnam Kedei Shelo Yomru LeDavid, HaMelech Alav Shalom, Mai Tama Nisavta Yifat Tor. He didn't want anybody else to question him why he married the captive woman. Shatikle, he was quiet. V'zeh shamar v'lo atzavo aviv miyamav. And that's why it says he never limited his son. V'hata mishum lemor diyomru lo l'david hamelech alav ha'shalom madua kacha asita dinesavte yifat tor v'lo darashta smuchim l'fi sh'adonai yahu hayatov tor me'od diyati miyafat tor. So he didn't rebuke his son because he didn't want anybody rebuking him, essentially, and saying, why did you marry this captive woman? You should have looked at what came next, the rebellious son. And Adoniyahu was very beautiful. We're told that in the text. And so therefore, he came from the beautiful captive woman. Be'oto yalda acharei Avshalom, and he was born after Avshalom. Be'kvar nichve bechamin, and he's already been burnt from Avshalom. So been burnt with hot things. Shamarli, my tama nisavti yifat tor. As Chushi asked him in the Gemara, why did you marry this beautiful woman? Velo darashta smuchim. And you didn't look at what comes next. Adkan devarav. So these are the words of this anonymous rabbi. V'yesh eze gimgum bedevarav. So he doesn't really like everything he says, but he accepts it. V'afshar l'mit. Lefima shekatavnu beinyotenu besifrei hakatan rosh David parshat Devarim, and now he's quoting himself, and I don't know so much about the Chida, so I can't tell you anything about this book. Deha deamru razal, the rabbis say, de'ein mochichin et adam ela samuch lamitato. So this is what he's disagreeing with the anonymous rabbi about why he never rebuked his son. So he's saying that our rabbis tell us you don't rebuke a person until you're about to die. We learn this from both Yaakov, when he rebukes his son when he's on his deathbed, and also Moshe Rabbeinu. All of Devarim is a big rebuke to the Jewish people, and it's right before he dies. Hainu lehochicho al mashe kvar asa. And then you rebuke him on what he already did. Delo nafka mide et asher kvar asahu rak shiyazarez lehabo bekiyotze. And it's not so much about what he already did, it's more that you give him alacrity for what he's going to do in the future, going forward. Umnam lehochicho al davar she'oseh, but to rebuke him on something he's actually currently doing, shiyifrosh mimenu, then he separates from it. Then you actually have to rebuke him as he's doing it many, many times until he separates it. And is it possible, or v'chein efshar maybe, it's possible that David HaMelech the Chassid would never have been over, he wouldn't have transgressed on the mitzvah of rebuking, because it's actually a mitzvah to rebuke somebody. She'im yada she'oseh davar shelo kehugan. If he had known that he was doing something that wasn't good, v'day haya mochicho ad she'ifrosh. Of course he would have rebuked him until he stopped doing it. Aval lo atzavo aviv miyamav, but the fact that he never rebuked him, shehu chai adayin lemor madua kacha asita l'sha'avar achar shekvar asahu. So, meaning, I think what the Chida is saying is that, of course, he would have rebuked his son if he were in the middle of doing something, but he hadn't yet rebuked him on what he had done. Okay, so it's just a very interesting perspective where we learned that perhaps David is trying to fix his sin with Avigal as opposed to Bathsheba, which was a sin of thought and not action. And that sin of thought was expressed through his not being able to warm himself. And Adoniyahu, and perhaps Avishag herself, both misinterpreted David's inability to warm himself as a sin for Bathsheba, as opposed to a sin for Avigal. And this is what emboldened Adoniyahu to try to take the kingship at that moment, because he thought that Shlomo could not be king if it came from some sort of forbidden relationship that he was still being punished for in his inability to warm himself. But really, the Chida is saying that that comes from the thought sin of Avigal. Okay, any questions? Okay, so let's start the Malbim. We'll see how far we get to it. Okay, so the Malbim is really going to pull this all together in a very different way. He's going to offer us very different understandings. So let's just read. Malbim, 19th century Prague. So first, he starts out with the questions. Lama hitzchil ha-sefer hazem inyanei David v'ziknuto v'tzavato el Shlomo lifnei moto. So right away, something that we've mentioned before, based on this Malbim. Why does this book start out with the matters of David in his old age and his command to Shlomo before his death? She'sipurim ha'ela haya ra'ui she'avo b'sefer Shmuel. Asher yuchad l'inyanei David. These stories should have come in the book of Samuel that are dedicated to the matters of David. V'lehashlim sham sipurav ad yom muto. And they should have, it should have completed the stories in Sefer Shmuel until the day of David's death, which is a little bit what we're fudging here in our class, that we are going into these first two chapters of Malachim to finish, to the complete David's life. And this book should have been dedicated to the matters of Shlomo and his story. And why is the story of Avishag even written? And that David was old, and that he was covered with clothing and they didn't warm him. What is the benefit of these stories? And what did Adoniyahu see to do these things in the lifetime of his father? Didn't he know David would become angry and that the desired outcome never would have come about? Didn't he know that his rebellion was doomed to fail? And the Malbim's reading that last pasuk that we quoted from very literally, and he's saying that all of Israel, the populace, was not drawn after Adoniyahu the way that they were drawn after Avshalom. If you remember, Avshalom attracted huge population. Only Yoav and Aviatar, the general and the Kohen. V'tov hayalo lamtin ad motavi v'az yasa mashali bo chafetz. It would have been much better for Adoniyahu's strategy to wait until after his father passed away, and then he could have done whatever his heart desired. Okay, so those are all of the Malbim's questions. Some of them we've already asked and answered in different ways. V'hamelech David, kvar katav maharai, so the Abarbanel already wrote, Shema shalom nichtavu devarim ha'ela b'sefer Shmuel, why these things were not written in the book of Samuel, why they're here in Kings. Shehu miyuchad al sibrei korot David, that Shmuel is dedicated to the life of David. Hu ki ratza lichtav b'sefer hazeh devarim ha'kololim kol inyonei shlomo b'ham shachato. He wanted to include, or it needed to be included in Kings, because Kings needed to include all the matters of Shlomo in his anointment. Ki hamshachat Shlomo umachloket Adoniyahu alav, because the anointing of Shlomo and the argument of Adoniyahu is on him. B'kol hanimshach yitjaches el sipurei Shlomo. And everything that happens, this whole, the incident in Avishag and Adoniyahu, all lead to the anointment of Shlomo. Umnam lama siper inyan Avishag hashunamit. Oh, so that was just about Adoniyahu. Sorry. So now he asks, what do we need the story of Avishag for? Natan bezeh ta'amim bilti atzmiim kefi dati. I think he's saying he didn't like the Abarbanel's reasons for why Avishag was included. Ve'anochi achshav ki ba'asher hasiba shehinia et lev David lahamlich et Shlomo be'oto hayom sheimlichu b'chayav haya machloket Adoniyahu. Okay, so the reason why David moved his heart to make Shlomo the king on that very day in his lifetime, which we haven't gotten up to yet, but that's what will happen. Sorry, spoiler alert. This was the disagreement of Adoniyahu, who wanted to take hold of the kingship without the knowledge of his father. Umita'am zeh mashcho et Shlomo hagam shemalach ben melech. So that's from this reason that Adoniyahu wanted to secretly take control to stage a coup. Shlomo, he anointed Shlomo, even though the son of a king who was anointed doesn't need anointment. And we learn that in all sorts of halachic literature, that as long as it's being passed down hereditarily, that's not a word, sorry. You don't need to re-anoint the son who is inheriting the kingship from his father. It's only when it's from a new line that you need to do a new anointment. In any case, he did anoint Shlomo because of this disagreement with Adoniyahu. And that's why, before we learn about Shlomo's anointment, we need to learn about the incident with Adoniyahu, because it's what caused David to anoint Shlomo during his lifetime and to anoint him, which he wouldn't have needed to do. V'olam ba'asher gam zeh haya lo siba behechrech, and because this was a forced reason, ki ma ra'a Adoniyahu la'asot ha'evlat hazot. So now we have to explain, why would it occur to Adoniyahu to do this terrible thing? Limloch b'chaye aviv b'lo dato, to try to stage a coup in the lifetime of his father without his father's knowledge. V'lo yada ki yitvada hadavar la'aviv, and didn't he know that it would become known to his father? U'milvad shelo yasig hatachlit, and that he wouldn't achieve his purpose? Od yisne'u al kol chashav limrod bo, and that he would hate him, and that he thought that he was rebelling against him? V'yakdim lahamlich et Shlomo, and that he would hurry up to make Shlomo the king, kasher haya ken bemet, as is what happened. V'im avshalom marad al pnei aviv, kasher kasher v'yat kol Yisrael acharav. And with regard to Avshalom, when he rebelled against his father in this plot, and all of Israel was drawn to him, lo kein Adoniyahu. That's not the case for Adoniyahu. Shelo hayu devarav, rak im Yoav v'Evyatar. He only told Yoav and Evyatar. V'tov haya lo lamtin ad yamot yaviv. He should have waited until David died. She'az yasa ma shelibo chafetz. Then he could have done whatever he wanted. L'chein hikdim hasibot she'inu et hadavar hazeh. Therefore, we needed to know what preceded Adoniyahu's rebellion that caused Adoniyahu to move in this irrational way. Hine lo yira she'yeh k'mo rad b'malchut aviv k'mo Avshalom. He wasn't afraid that he'd be considered a traitor, a rebeller against the kingship, like Avshalom. Ki Avshalom asazo be'od melch David v'asechayel. Because Avshalom did this while David HaMelech was still strong. V'zehu avon umered lahavir et aviv be'od kocho chazak lahanhig v'limsho. This is a real sin to rebel against your father when he's still strong and he can still rule. Lo kein ata, which is not the case now. Hamelech haya zaken v'gam ba b'yamim. The king was elderly and coming along in his days. Ratza lomar zaken ba'afisat kochotav. He was not only old in terms of his gathering strength. V'gam haya ben shivim. He was also 70 years old. Sorry, Mom and Chaim. V'kvar hifsik milahanhig v'limloch ki shachav al eres mechusa begadim. He had already stopped ruling and acting as a king because he was lying down in the bed covered with clothing. V'lo yichamlo, and it wasn't warming him. Peirush ha-mifarshim shelo haya mechamem et atzmo. He couldn't warm himself. Ki efes chomo ha-tivi, he had no natural heat. V'lachein lo ho'ilu ha-begadim shehem ein mechamemim be'etzem rak shomrim ha-avir. So all of these clothing on top of him were just blocking the air from circulating to his body and cooling him, but he couldn't produce any natural heat. And he had no hope of ever really regaining his strength and ruling again. And it looked, with regard to kingship, that he wasn't even in this world. And the time had come where his sons should take over the rulership and be king under him, in place of him. Okay, I think we might have to stop there because it's getting late. I apologize.
I wanted to ask a question, Stacey, about that last part. Is the Malbim saying that it was okay what he did? I mean, it sounds like almost like he's saying that. It seems to me that you shouldn't do that even if your father's old, you know, it's not
right.
I mean,
so I think
I just wondered if you can clarify.
Right, I think the Malbim is setting the stage from Adoniyahu's perspective to see what it was that led Adoniyahu to make this really unstrategic mistake of trying to take over the kingship in that moment. So we're going to see how Avishag in the next psukim continue to strengthen Adoniyahu's resolve that he should take over the kingship at this moment, that this was his opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we will start with the Malbim Pasuk Bet next week. So I apologize that we're kind of leaving on a cliffhanger in terms of the Malbim's explanation. So the Malbim has explained so far why we need the story of Adoniyahu in the book of Malachim and how it relates directly to David eventually anointing and placing Shlomo on the throne during his lifetime and the immediate why David had to do that. And David had to do that because of Adoniyahu, and that's why we need the story of Adoniyahu here in Sefer Malachim. And next week we'll explore how the story of Avishag relates to Adoniyahu, which relates to Shlomo HaMelech. We'll see how it all connects. Okay, any other questions?